chapter 10, verses 14 to 15. Just two verses tonight. Hallelujah, amen. The other day I was sitting at my desk at home doing some work, and all of a sudden sitting there I heard this loud siren. Very loud siren. Usually when a siren goes off near our place, we live in Bulay, Lavala Beach, very close to an industrial area. And so when a siren goes off like that, it usually indicates lunchtime for the factory workers. So I thought this was their lunchtime, and I thought maybe they got a new siren. But straight after the siren, there was somebody talking and giving instruction. And I realized it wasn't a lunchtime siren for the factory. This was actually a tsunami warning. And so government's been, I think, investing into this. I don't know, but they've got this whole tsunami warning system that they test every now and again. And I mean, it's a good thing to have a warning before a tsunami. Can you say amen? I know we've never been hit by one, and I pray to God we never are hit by one, but thank God there is a warning system in place. Here in our text in Romans chapter 10, Paul is speaking about the nation of Israel, his own people, and their need for the warning, their need for the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Let's read these two verses. Verse 14 of Romans chapter 10. It says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." Let's pray tonight. Hallelujah. God, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you as we come into your house tonight to hear your word. And I pray that you would bring a message, God, that will challenge, that will stir our hearts for the gospel. God, that you would also stir our hearts for our responsibility. God, for the calling and the purpose and the plans, oh God, that you have for our lives as your people, and that you would stir our hearts for our generation. In Jesus' name, I pray. And everybody said, amen. I want to preach a very simple message I've entitled, Without a Preacher. Let's think firstly, how then shall they believe? That's the question Paul brings in our text there in verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him? In 2018, a CNN article on a tsunami that hit Indonesia, this is the words of this article, it said, many of the hundreds of people who died when a tsunami struck the Indonesian coast were nowhere near shelter. Quite simply, they had no idea it was coming. That's because despite a history of tsunamis caused by volcanoes and earthquakes, Indonesia has not had an effective early warning system for years. In September of the same year, more than 2,000 people were killed after a tsunami and earthquake struck Western Sulawesi, with many complaining they were caught unaware. Also, over July and August, a series of earthquakes hit the northern Lombok region, sparking landslides and collapsing buildings that left over 400 people dead. Now, here's a nation that's losing many of its people. Many lives are being lost to tsunamis and earthquakes and such, yet they neglect to install a system that would warn them. For whatever reason, maybe it's too expensive, too time-consuming, too complicated, they've just left their people to fend for themselves. And sadly, you know, that can be the view of Christianity today, maybe some churches today, even some Christians, that we don't really need to warn, we don't really need to preach the gospel. People can fend for themselves. People can decide for themselves. They can read the Bible for themselves. They can go to church for themselves. They've heard about Jesus themselves. Maybe like these nations, like these governments, the church could think too, it's too expensive, it's too time-consuming, it's too complicated. It's the old idea. They know the way back home. When it's time, they'll get it right. This is the idea, common thought, that the church should not be out there preaching and warning and telling others. That as Christians, we don't have to be so focused on reaching the lost. Just leave them to decide for themselves. You know, this may surprise you, but we even have Christians in this in our generation who believe that don't force Christ on anybody. You don't need to go out and declare and proclaim. Ever since I've been saved and started outreaching on the streets, I can say honestly that most of the opposition I've ever received and pushback have not come from Hindus or Muslims. When we've gone out on the streets to preach, to street preach, even to hand out flyers, to tell other people about Jesus Christ. All the opposition, if I can recall over the years, didn't come from Muslims. I never once got stopped by a Muslim and was told or asked to stop preaching. I was never asked by a Hindu, can you guys go somewhere else? Each time we've been confronted, from what I can recall, it's always been Christians, other churches. See, the sad reality is some in the church world are convinced that the world doesn't need to hear this message. That the message is meant for the church and those in the church. But listen to what Paul is saying here. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed, he says in verse 14. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? But how can you ask people to believe in a message they have not heard? You see, tonight, church, even though we live in a very religious nation, Fiji is a very religious nation, there is still, I would say, the majority of people have no personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter that there's 7 or 8 churches along Grantham Road. Most people do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Most people have no assurance of eternity in heaven. You tried. If you think, no, that's not true, can't be, Fiji's a Christian nation, I would encourage you, why don't you come on the streets with us one Saturday morning? You can stand with me as we ask people as they go past, if one, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? And two, if you die today, are you sure you're going to make heaven your home? And you'd be amazed how many people, even in a religious nation, can't answer those two questions honestly and can't say yes, I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Yes, I'm going to heaven. Or can't even honestly answer that they understand what the Bible says about their soul and what they must do. You know why? You know why that is? Because they have not heard. Paul was dealing with a religious nation. He was dealing with his own religious nation, which was Israel. They have not heard. Yes, they know the Bible. Yes, they've heard it before. They've heard about Abraham. They've heard about Moses and Noah and the ark and all those stories. But let me tell you, beloved, tonight, they have not heard the gospel. Our lack is never, we don't have a lack of the unsaved. There is no lack of those who do not know or those who have not heard. The lack is always of those who would go. That's where the lack is. That's where the shortage is. The shortage is in those who would do something. Luke chapter 10, verse 2, then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. You know, one of the reasons pastors like showing the video, the one I showed on Sunday night, that international video, is because when you show those videos in pioneer churches like ours and churches throughout the fellowship, it's encouraging. It tells us, man, there are others who are going. There are others who are actually going out. They're preaching. They're making a step. They're making a stand to go and preach. Because that's where we realize, that's where the real shortage is. The lack is not those who will is not in those who will hear. The need has always been on those who will go. And this is the question Paul poses. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? You have unsaved family members. You got relatives, colleagues at work who say they know about God. And they may even tell you they've been to church their whole life. Let me tell you, they have not heard. They have not heard the gospel. Secondly, tonight, how then shall they hear? In verse 14, Paul asks the question, and how shall they hear without a preacher? See, the need in today's world is for preachers, those that will stand and unashamedly declare the gospel message. You know, if you've read that book, An Open Door, you would find Pastor Mitchell, when he was still a disciple, still learning, when he went to a Bible college, he was there for a few years, and he said what really got his heart pumping, it wasn't the lessons, it wasn't when he sat there under these men with degrees in theology and listened to their whole exposition on the Bible. It was the Friday nights. And Friday nights, what they would do in Bible college, according to him, is they would go out on a Friday night, go down to the corner in the town with a bullhorn, with a mic, and they would just stand on the park bench and start preaching the gospel. And he said that's what got his heart racing. That's what he loved. He loved to just preach the gospel on the street corner. Because that's the need in today's world, even in Christianity today. It's those that will boldly and unashamedly declare the gospel message. It's interesting that Jesus himself came to preach. Matthew 4:17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Mark 1:38. But he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." Luke 4:18. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." Jesus was making it very clear. I came to preach. Don't hold me back. I need to go to the next town so I can preach. God has anointed me. He's given me the Spirit of God so that I can preach. You can't remove preaching from Christianity. Can you say amen tonight, church? That you can't live a Christian life and follow in the footsteps of Christ without preaching. This was central to his mission. It was the preaching of the gospel. Preaching to the people is what Jesus did. And let me ask you tonight, shouldn't we as his followers do the same? And yet many times, this is the part that you find missing. This is the part that we don't contend for. We don't aspire to. Shouldn't the church, the body of Christ, the representative of Jesus Christ here on earth, do the same? Not only did Jesus preach, but he even sent his disciples out to preach. Mark 3:14. Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. Mark 16:15. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Preaching the gospel is not part of what we are to do. It's central to what we do. And I know when you preach, there's going to be opposition. When you preach, there's going to be pushback. You never know what's going to happen. If you read the book of Acts, it's very interesting. One time, Stephen gets up, he preaches, he gets stoned and he's dead. Peter gets up, he preaches, 3,000 people get saved, get added to the church. When you preach, you never know what response you're going to get. They'll either stone you or they'll get saved. But we're not preaching based on the response. We're preaching because that's what Jesus did. And that's what he commanded his disciples to do. Let me also add in here, don't get pastoring confused with preaching. Many like to delegate preaching to pastors and missionaries and evangelists. No. Preaching was what Jesus did, and that's what his disciples did. Preaching isn't specifically just for pastors or missionaries or evangelists. Every follower of Jesus Christ, every Christian, listen to Acts chapter 11, verse 26. The Bible says, "And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch." The reason I have read that scripture tonight, a church, is because the Bible is saying Christians were disciples and disciples were Christians. These two terms are synonymous. What that means is they're interchangeable. You can't say, I'm a Christian, but I'm not a disciple. The Bible says they were first called Christians. The disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. If you consider yourself, if I was to ask them, how many of you think you're a Christian? I'm sure most of us would put our hands up, hopefully. The Bible is saying that if you're a Christian, that automatically means you're a disciple. That you consider yourself a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, who did Jesus say to go and preach? The disciples. That this calling then, this commission, these marching orders wasn't given to pastors. It wasn't given to missionaries or evangelists. It was given to the disciples who were known as Christians. That's you and I. Luke 9:2, he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Let me say, beloved, tonight, if you are a Christian, you are called to preach. I'm not saying you're called to pastor or to be a missionary or an evangelist. You are called to preach. This is very simple. This is a simple calling. And, when I got saved in the Suva Church, they don't have it there anymore. But up on the wall on the side, just near pastor's office, was this big billboard. And it was put there, Mark 16:15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And I remember one conference there. I think it was the first conference Pastor Perry had when he came in and took over back in 2013. And during the conference, he was wondering, what's the theme of the conference? And that billboard or that sign, it's not there anymore. It used to be the big blue sign with black letters, go into all the world and preach the gospel. It had been covered. I can't remember what we covered it with. Somewhere along the line, we did a concert or haunted house. And we covered that sign, so it was no longer seen. And Pastor Perry was wondering, what should the theme of the conference be? And he thought, you know what? The theme of the conference is Mark 16:15. And as he was preparing the Suva Church for the conference, he said, hey, somebody go up and pull that cloth down. So somebody went up, and when the cloth was removed, lo and behold, was the sign, Mark 16:15, go into all the world. See, we can cover this up over time. You can cover up this command, this commission to go and preach the word. You can cover it up with fluff. You can cover it up with activities. You can cover it up with church events and feel-good things. But let me say, it's still there. The commission is still there. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's not a calling to the Potter's House Church or the Tucson or Prescott or Grantham Church. That's a calling to believers. Evangelism is the main thing. He sent them to preach the kingdom, to preach it, to preach Jesus. This is, as I said, it's a clear-cut calling. If you're here tonight as a believer and you're wondering, what do I do? You're a young man, a young woman. What am I supposed to do with my life? You know, I've gotten saved recently and you're still figuring Christianity out. Let me say, you can preach the gospel. Everybody here tonight, you can preach the gospel. And many times there will be other priorities that can steal our focus. That same old story about the Christian magazine that wrote and mocked the Potter's House Church. They said the problem with Potter's House is all we think about is evangelism, discipleship, and church planting. Imagine the Christian world mocking a church because all they think about is preaching the gospel. What else is there? Amen? What else is there? Are we supposed to have bazaars and different church activities just to make people happy? No, we're supposed to preach the gospel. And many times other priorities can come in to steal our focus, our attention, our zeal, and I think that's demonic. I think there's a demonic strategy against preaching the gospel, because if you look at the Salvation Army, yes, they're doing good deeds today, but if you read the origins of the Salvation Army, they were a preaching fellowship. They were a group of men and women, and that's why it's called Salvation Army, because they really thought of themselves as an army. Now they just have the uniform and the brass band. But these men were militant. They didn't call themselves pastors. They called themselves colonels and sergeants and captains. And they would literally march into bad neighborhoods. And they would go and they would preach the gospel just like an army. But now things have changed because there's a demonic strategy against preaching. And if you're going to try and rise up to preach the gospel, you're going to have to understand this. Luke chapter 9, verse 60, Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God." He's saying, don't get caught up in other things. Don't get caught up in the things of this world, but you go. You go and preach. When we were in the Watonga Primary School, there was I can't remember whether it was a Wednesday night or a Sunday night service. A lady came into our church, heard the sermon. After the sermon, she came up to me, "Oh, thank you, brother, for that. So where are your credentials?" She knew I was calling myself pastor of the Potter's House Church. She wanted to see my credentials. So she was looking at the wall of the Watonga Primary School, trying to find my license and my degree in theology. There's no degree of theology, no qualification from any Bible seminary. You know, where's my credentials? This is my credentials. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's your credentials tonight. Acts chapter 10, verse 42, "And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead." If you're here tonight, every born-again, blood-washed, spirit-filled believer has all they need to go and preach the gospel. You don't need to go to Bible college. Maybe if you're thinking, "Oh, I need to go to Bible college and spend 3 years, get a doctorate in theology." Let me say, we were outreaching in Lami one Saturday afternoon. I met a young man there. I met him on the street. Witnessed to him, asked him, "Are you saved? Are you born again?" Didn't know what I was talking about. Started witnessing to him. Finally, he gave his life to Jesus, got born again right there on the street. I asked him, "What do you do?" He said, "I'm in my second year at Bible college." Here's a guy, second year at Bible college, didn't know whether he was saved or not. Any born again believer who's been saved by the blood of Jesus, filled with the Holy Ghost, you can go and preach the gospel. You don't need a certificate on your wall to do this. If God saved you, God's equipped you, that you can go and you can warn others and you can preach the gospel. Verse 15, Paul asks the question, "And how shall they preach unless they are sent?" Church, this isn't something we just believe in. This is something we do. It's something that we invest into. That your life and my life tonight needs to be engaged in the preaching of the gospel. Not just in church and under the word of God, but your life needs to be an instrument through which God can minister his word. This is the need. And tonight you could answer that need. It doesn't matter what the sins are in your past, or what the mistakes you've made and how broken your life was before you came to Jesus Christ. But at the cross of Jesus, let me say, the blood of Jesus cleanses everything. Old things have passed away. That all things can be made new and God can use your life. Let me close. I'm not preaching long tonight. Thirdly and finally, as I wrap this up, how beautiful are the feet? Read an interesting story. In 2004, Tilly Smith, that's her name, Tilly Smith was 10 years old and enjoying her holiday vacation in Thailand. However, as they walked along the beach the day after Christmas, Tilly, this 10-year-old girl, noticed something strange happening with the water. Remembering a science lesson she had learned just a week before, she began to grow wary of the frothy water rushing onto the sand. The 10-year-old tried warning her family that this was exactly the type of reaction you'd find after an earthquake, but they didn't listen to her. After she became hysterical, sitting down in the sand and refusing to budge, her father decided to escort her back to the hotel, where he got the attention of a nearby security guard. Another guest overheard the conversation and told them he heard about an earthquake that had just occurred in Sumatra. Quickly, the guard began evacuating the beach where Tilly's mother was still walking with her little sister. The family barely made it to the second floor of the hotel before the tsunami struck the shores. Though some of the guests suffered injuries on that terrible day, none lost their lives because of Tilly Smith's warnings. Because of her warning, Tilly Smith was credited with saving the lives of about 100 beachgoers at this beach in Thailand on that day. A 10-year-old girl said, "You know what? I've learned about this. This is a tsunami, and we need to move. You need to get people off of the beach." Here was a little girl, instead of just enjoying her vacation, because she knew, she warned, she did something, and she saved about 100 lives. You know what Tilly Smith did? She made her life count. Can I ask you tonight, would you make your life count? I know there are many pursuits in the world that you could go after, things you could do with your life, other things that you could do. But how about making your life count for eternity? Your life could make an impact. Reinhard Bonnke, the great evangelist, said, every generation needs a regeneration. Yes, Fiji in the past, islanders in the past, the world in the past, they've heard the gospel. In the past, they've had a revival. But what about this generation? That generation has passed. Those who knew the Bible, those who had that revival, the generation of Thomas Baker, it's passed now. We got a new generation that have not heard. What about your generation tonight? God could use you to be an instrument of salvation. Tilly Smith, through her life, saved 100. How many could God save through your life if you preached? On 9th September 2005, I carried on reading this story about this young girl, Tilly Smith. It said in 2005, she received the Thomas Gray Special Award of the Marine Society and Sea Cadets. And there was an asteroid in space. Asteroid 20002 has been named Tilly Smith. It's been named after her. In December 2005, Smith was named Child of the Year by a French magazine. At the official tsunami commemoration on the first anniversary, she was given the honor of reading a poem to thousands of spectators. You see, the point is what this little girl did, she was honored for that. They knew she had done something. Yes, she may be 10 years old, but what you've done, we're going to honor this. And you can go and read up on Wikipedia. Her name's there. She's honored. She's recognized for what she did. Let me say, God will honor you. God will honor you if you would do what God's called you to do, what every believer, every Christian has been called to do. There's more rewards, more awards for those who preach the gospel. Listen to our text, verse 15. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. That Paul, he turns the attention here. How then shall they hear? How then shall they believe unless a preacher is sent? And then he begins to bring this honor. Albert Barnes, the Bible commentator, says the whole meaning of this passage is applied to ministers of the gospel, that they're coming as an attractive object regarded with deep interest and productive of joy and honored and a delightful employment. That there are people out there who look forward to your coming, that they're waiting for a message of truth. People are waiting. During COVID last year, I preached a sermon called Some Good News. People have heard a lot of good news over the past, even just the last 2 years. It's been a lot of bad news, rather. A lot of bad news has gone on in the media and the mainstream news. Now people are longing to hear some good news. And that's the picture Paul is bringing here. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel, that as the messengers are coming, there are people in the world whose lives have been lost and broken because of sin, because of the wages of sin. And this is the picture of them seeing someone bringing some good news, someone coming to tell them that there's hope, that there's a life. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel. There are people waiting to hear the good news. People are tired of the bad news, tired of the past, tired of the same old. And let me say tonight, beloved, you and I have the good news. All we need now to do is to preach it. That person that sits next to you at school, those opportunities you get. I mentioned when I was in Form 4, the teacher gave an opportunity, said, oh, we're going to have an impromptu. Anybody wants to get up and just say something? It was like, you know, the time just after the exams, before the holidays, nobody's doing anything. Teacher comes in, anyone, impromptu, just get up and say something. This young boy in our form, Kenny, he stood up there and we got the shock of our lives. He started preaching the gospel. started telling us, and he preached about how he got saved in that the last Christmas holidays, gave his life to Jesus, and here I am, a rebel. I was a rebel, black heart, black sheep, black mind, and I'm sitting there till today. I was in Form 4, so that was just like 5 years ago. Now I'm sitting there, and I'm hearing this. I'm hearing him preach. Till today, I remember Kenny doing that. There's many things about high school I can't remember. It's all a blur to me. But I can remember this young man standing up, you know, with boldness and guts. I thought Kenny was the bravest man. He's just a little guy, smaller than all the other boys. But here he was in front of his Form 4 class, preaching the gospel, telling us about Jesus Christ. And years later, when I was 20 years old, when I got saved, even Sophie would remember this. I remember telling her, man, I hope I see Kenny again. I want to tell him I gave my life to Jesus. When you preach the gospel, people may not respond, but I want to tell you, you're making an impact. You're doing something. They're hearing something they've never heard before. As I said, all we need to do now is to preach it. One final story. At a conference, at the Perth conference, the only one we've ever been to, Pastor Perry, he preached Thursday night, World Evangelism. And on that night, as he concluded his sermon, he got a video up and he showed some of the saints, probably eight or so saints from the Suva Church. And each one, there was Brother Jonathan, Brother Nilesh Satish, these just little clips of them. And they, remember, we're at the Perth conference. The whole or majority of the Australian fellowship was sitting there as Pastor Perry showed this video. And there were these little clips. First, Jonathan came on, and then his wife and others. And they just came on, and all they said, my name is Jonathan. I used to be a sinner, but now I'm saved. I want to thank you for sending a missionary to Fiji. And one by one, that's all they said. My name is so-and-so. I'm from the Suva Church. Thank you for sending a missionary to Fiji. I want to tell you, by the time that clip ended, the whole Australian Fellowship men came to the altar weeping. Never seen that. Never seen such a powerful move of God. When they realized, you know what, preaching the gospel, you make an impact. You really do make a difference. If you want to make your life count, like I said, there are many pursuits out there. But there's one pursuit, there's one thing you can do that's going to resonate for eternity. If we do what Jesus has commanded us to do and to preach the gospel. Again, listen to our text. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Amen. Every head bowed tonight.